Hi, everyone. I'm Sean Duby, Principal Technologist Americas at Semperis, and welcome to the HIP Podcast. As this is coming out in the beginning of 2026, kind of hard to say that it's 2026, Happy New Year. Back in October, we held our annual Hybrid Identity Protection Conference. This year in Charleston, at the Charleston Place Hotel, we had 26 sessions and four keynotes over 2 days, covering everything from the Active Directory roadmap to post-authentication attacks, and the cyber psychology of threat actors to the state of identity security. All the sessions are now online at hipconf.com, and I strongly recommend you check them out. And to aid in that, my guest today is my fellow Semperis Principal Technologist for EMEA, Guido Grillenmeier. I've known Guido just about as long as I've known Active Directory. Windows 2000 Magazine, Windows Connections Conferences, MVP conferences. I remember back in the day, I would be at the Windows Connection conferences, which were sponsored by what was called Windows 2000 Magazine. And then actually it was originally called Windows NT Magazine, yep. Then Windows 2000 Magazine, then Windows IT Pro. And I remember being at a Windows Connection conference and Guido blowing in from Germany and his busy job as a high-powered guy at HP, and blowing in just long enough to do his session and then disappearing like the next day or in a few hours to go back to Germany to go back to work. So it's pretty fun having a pal that I had never worked with actually. How long has it been, Guido? It's been 3 years?
You wish it's been five. Seeing my block here even says four, and the fifth block is coming in a few weeks. Yeah. And this is going to be in the new year, so it'll be 5 years then. Incredible how time flies, my friend, if you're having fun.
Yeah, it really is. Welcome. Yeah. And so as part of our duties emceeing the HIP conference, we each ran one of the two session rooms. Yeah. So for today's podcast, to get around to what this is all about, we're going to talk about some of our favorite sessions. So you'll have a head start on which ones to watch. And so let me preface this by saying, if you go to hipconf.com, C-O-N-F as in conference, that's where you have both my podcast episodes and all of the conference sessions with video and sometimes with slide decks as well are there live for you to watch on demand whenever you want. So thanks for coming today, buddy.
And absolutely, it's worthwhile to watch the recordings. Of course, being there live is even better. Yeah, the discussions that we've had in between the breaks with the different presenters and keynote speakers were amazing. Yeah, but hey, the recordings are awesome and help to understand the topics that were shared.
Yeah, one of the fun things and one of the drawbacks about running a room all day is that we got to sit in on about half of the content.
True.
But had a challenge with the other half of the content. So we've all been catching up. So we had about almost 30 sessions in 2 days.
Actually, across 2.5 days. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah. 2.5 days. Yeah. So the way it broke out is we had keynote sessions. We had general sessions on identity and access management. We had for the first time, well, not the first time, but it's nice to have back, we had Microsoft attending. Yeah. So we had several Microsoft sessions, and then we had sessions on ITDR for hybrid identity, a bunch of Entra ID sessions, and a bunch of security-related sessions, including several on service accounts and several on PKI and Active Directory certificate services and incident response. What area did you find yourself gravitating to?
Well, I have to say that all of them were amazing. And like you said, we were split up across rooms, so I didn't actually get to see some of the sessions live that were in that security track, which was also amazing. We had great content in the IAM space with experience from the field. I always love it when Joe Kaplan comes on stage and talks about what they've done at Accenture, which is, of course, quite a bit larger at scale than many other of our clients, but him talking about, you know, what was the title, from hybrid to full cloud, is it right for you? You know, trying to get to full cloud, which at least had been the anticipation from Accenture, until realizing that's that goal is tough to reach. And I think it just reflected and mirrored many of the participants feeling about getting to the cloud. You might want to get there 100%, but it's all about the apps, yeah? And it's all about your dependencies. Yeah.
And so Joe was always,
yeah,
not, Joe is always not interesting. Easy,
yeah.
800,000 user accounts.
Yeah.
I don't think you should take all of your identity IT budget and it's like, we're getting off of AD. This is the only thing we're going to spend our money on. This is not what I'm actually recommending that you do at all. I don't think you should actually tell your leadership, it's a one-year project, we'll have this done next year, don't worry about it. No, this is a journey. This is a lifestyle. This is a thing that you're going to commit to, that you're going to need to do over time. You are going to be slowly rebuilding the plane in the air as you are flying it. But there are good reasons why you should be doing this along the way as well too, because you will get better, you will get cheaper, you will become easier to defend, and this will get better as it goes.
So it's that experience that shared from the field that the participants absolutely appreciated. And of course, so did I. Yeah. So there's plenty of those types of sessions that we've had this
week. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, one of the highlights, as I said, having Microsoft come, you know, we are a broad community that is not at all dependent upon Microsoft presenting, but it was nice to have, there was a sort of a bit of a backstory about having Microsoft presenting there. It's probably worth mentioning. So back in February was the 25th anniversary of the general release of Active Directory. And so I did a post saying happy birthday, Active Directory. And in it, I mentioned, I think I said something along the lines of Microsoft has essentially abandoned Active Directory. And then a program manager for Active Directory, Linda Taylor, popped up in the comments to basically say, hey, we're still out here. So we dove into that and engaged Linda and also her colleague Cliff Fisher from the product group,
and they are from the Active Directory product. Obviously, there's plenty of folks at Microsoft, but those two from the product group, from that AD team that is has been taking the charge of ensuring that Active Directory keeps running, keeps being secure, having them to talk about, you know, what's new, what's next with Active Directory was just amazing at the conference for the audience to just hear, hey, we're here to stay, in the sense of the technology. Active Directory isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Microsoft will keep supporting it.
We're very much here. We're very much alive. And we're very much working on AD every single day at Microsoft.
And of course, the team is not just sitting back, twiddling thumbs and not knowing what to do. But there's excellent, work ahead of them. And but also work that they've showed to the audience of what they have been working on in the past, yeah, and just taking that in, that just what was it in October, let's say 1.5 years of updates in the AD space, from 24 until October 25, they had something like 1200 security updates that team had to work on, yeah, and it gives you just a different appreciation of what this team is actually really taking care of a lot, yeah. And so that was highly appreciated.
Well, and I wanted to highlight, I was going to bring this up to mention it. They very specifically, and this is of interest to everyone on this podcast, mentioned what the official statement is for Microsoft and Active Directory. And what they said specifically is, Microsoft is committed to keeping Active Directory protected and productive in modern enterprise environments by investing in its security and supportability, while also supporting our customers' transitions to cloud-based identity solutions. So The point is there, they had three pillars: security, cloud enablement, and supportability. So
absolutely. And it's not going away. This is, I think, important. It's not going away anytime soon. Windows Server 2025 with new updates of Active Directory, or actually the first time, Active Directory got some additional love with new updates to the feature set, including a new forest functional level that makes it obvious there's something different in this release compared to, Windows Server 2019 and Windows Server 2022 that basically didn't have much updates to show for. 2016 was the last forest functional level that we had before. So this was a big deal. There were a few, gotchas when you have such a big release finally out in the open. But they fixed those, for me, with Bad Successor now sort of fixed, which was a well-known bug around the delegated managed service account. Very powerful capabilities that they added, but it was able to be misused, and they fixed this. And after this, even I can now say this operating system is ready for productive use. Yeah.
So, right, and one of the things will be, one of the things that came out of, since you're talking about Bad Successor, this is related to delegated managed service accounts. Mm-hmm. And this, we had two sessions in here at HIP that specifically addressed service accounts.
Yeah.
And another one of our MVP crew, or of current and former MVPs, George De Almeida Pinto, who we've also, Guido and I and folks, we've been around for many years, gave a session on a deep dive into service accounts, and specifically about the delegated managed service account, which is new in Windows Server 2025. And it was designed specifically to start getting rid of legacy service accounts that are such an attack vector in Active Directory. And
sure.
He dove deeply into what it's about, but is importantly, for a takeaway, he also walked through the migration process. It's not very useful to have a new way of managing service accounts if you don't have a way to go from the old to the new.
Yeah.
And so I highly recommend you go check out George's, because let's face it, everybody that has Active Directory has security problems with service accounts. That you go look at George's session on how to migrate away from legacy service accounts to what we call DMSAs. It's not trivial, but it is doable worth looking into.
Let's have a look at the legacy service accounts, the good, the bad, and the ugly reality. Because when you look at the legacy service accounts, this is what you normally see in environments used all over the place for all kinds of purposes, and it's just a user object, like an admin account or a simple user account, but it has been configured with password never expires because services applications don't like to change their passwords, at least if they don't support it. Many of the times, RC4, SPNs, too many permissions, and application owners obviously also hate passwords, so the password is probably very crappy. If you take into account that an application owner might have multiple service accounts, probably all those service accounts have the same password. Maybe even the same password as their own admin account or their own user account. So compromise one, you have all the others. Finding, owning it, auditing it is an unbelievably pain in the you know what. So why is this so an issue? Because it is a prime target for attackers. They love these legacy service accounts for the things that you see on screen. Password never expires, old passwords, and RC4 encryption. All very weak, which is very vulnerable to Kerberos roasting attacks.
There are some gotchas that session will also clarify that we don't need to highlight in this podcast right now. Microsoft is also aware of those. They still have some work to do, and I hope that they, the team gets to that to make it even more useful. But it's definitely a technology that any practitioner should get to know. And George's session was awesome to do that. And of course, not just about the delegated managed service accounts, but in general, the overview and what's the difference, et cetera. But absolutely worthwhile.
Right.
Absolutely worthwhile.
What about the keynotes, Guido?
I love each and every one of the keynotes. Yeah, I think it started off with Alex Weinert, who for the first time spoke as a Semperis employee, still being responsible for Entra ID security at Microsoft, and he basically talked, and this is, I think, he did a great job in his keynote about that decision making process. What comes after leaving such a critical role that he had at Microsoft, but realizing identity is still at his heart, and protecting identities, and realizing that that's something where he could best support clients around the world by joining Semperis as the chief product officer. So I think it was great, the story that he told on that journey of how do you even get to make such a decision. So that'll be something that listeners, viewers can look forward to. But also, of course, the realization that there's ever ongoing evolution, but the identity is still in the middle of being attacked. And he also used interesting new updates, of course, from Microsoft around Storm 501's capabilities. That's a very active ransomware group, active globally, but of course, monitored also very closely by Microsoft, and how they're now moving more and more also into the cloud. Yeah. But still attacking the clients, most of the clients, through the on-prem Active Directory. Yeah. So the on-prem Active Directory for most being the weak spot, not saying Entra ID isn't attacked directly also. Yeah. But, with proper security measures, it's harder to get into than when you're in a corporate environment through some phishing attack one way or another, to just be able to compromise that local on-prem AD and then elevate your privileges right from there into the cloud. So that's a good one for him to just clarify. Identity remains that key aspect that we need to look at and protect. And that was what the conference was all about, of course.
Hospitals are going down, infrastructure is going down, right? And it's getting more and more centered on identity. And, you definitely have the sense of like, well, we did a bunch of good work in the identity security team at Microsoft, but we certainly did not solve the problem in its entirety. And when you look at the things that are happening, these are impactful to everyday people. Like your day-to-day life, when like systems like you can't get your surgery because the hospital's gone offline or been ransomware, you can't get your money because your bank's offline, right? These are like very meaningful down to earth problems that we're having. And we're seeing new technologies emerging, which we, I think there's a legal contract. You're not allowed to speak in the technology sector without mentioning AI, right? So but the agentic work, the increasing low code, no code, the propagation of applications, all this stuff is not making it easier. And the other aspect of generative AI is, of course, if you've ever heard me talk before, I will rail about how you have to get humans out of the system. But boy, oh boy, is it true now, right? Like we regularly dealt with things like, when I was at Microsoft, dealt with things like, unfortunately, even Microsoft personnel would respond to these like random texts from a random phone number in a random country. It was like, hey, send me your password. I'm from IT, I'm trying to help, send me your password, right? That's not an advanced attack. Like that's the most obvious attack in the world and people fall for it.
For me, one of the highlights of the conference for me was Dr. Mary Akin. Dr. Akin is the preeminent cyber psychologist, which is something I had never really thought about before, which is the psychology of threat actors and defenders as well. And she is well recognized for her long contributions to this field as an expert. In fact, the television show CSI Cyber was built based on her character, on her. And if you watch the show, you'll see that the main character, who is played by the actor under pressure, the name Rosanna Arquette, one of the Arquette sisters, Blonde, Mary is also Blonde, is based on Mary's character. And I was fortunate enough to obviously listen in on the keynote, but I also got to do a podcast with her, which is coming out in the beginning of February. So look for that podcast to come out. Looking forward to that being broadcast, and also to hang out a little bit at dinner and chat. Fascinating conversationalist. She's Irish, so she's a great conversationalist. So that was really special, hearing from her viewpoint, you know, not technical, but psychological, intellectual, about what, about how all of that works. Was she had everybody's attention on that.
Absolutely. I'm just reading the title of her keynote, with Mind Over Machine, Cyber Psychology of the Human Factor and Hybrid Identity. Cool title, to say the least about that. But of course, the content was even more important, you know, with her explaining how the cognitive biases of people are helping attackers in their attack. And of course, she explained that better than I ever could here. So absolutely worthwhile to listen into that session and review it and learn from it. While we're at keynotes, let me highlight the Thursday one on the third day, or the second and a half day, from Chris Inglis. When Chris speaks, everybody listens. His capability of explaining the security, actually his title was Security in the Age of Cyber. I think it was an eye-opener how he explained it from the viewpoint of, military aspects, specifically air combat. And I noted, and I really stuck with me, and a lot of the audience, I had some discussions with folks afterwards when he explained the OODA loop that I had never heard of before, right? The OODA loop, which means, and it's used in air combat, means to observe, orient, decide, and act. OODA, OODA. And with the goal of doing that faster than the adversary, the aggressor that is coming at you. Of course, in air combat, that is another plane, and you need to decide what to do, is this a friend or foe, or whatnot?
Here's the problem. Anybody in the room familiar with an OODA loop? So if you're from the Air Force, you know that what the OODA loop is one fighter pilot staring across another fighter pilot says, I will observe, orient, understand the context of that observation. I will observe, orient, decide, act faster than you can. I'm going to do that over and over and over again. My OODA loop is going to be profoundly more kind of efficient than your OODA loop. Observe, orient, decide, act over and over and over again. Turns out in cyberspace, nobody has an intact OODA loop, right? Somebody might see something. They have no idea what its context is. There might be somebody else that would understand that context, but they haven't had the benefit of that information. There's a third person that might be in a position to make a decision, and a fourth entity that might be in the position to act. And because we all have fractured OODA loops, no one's in a position to even respond properly, let alone to perhaps display and exercise some initiative properly. And what's the answer to that? Well, some would say we need to suck all those abilities to observe, orient, decide, act. We need to suck all them up into one big master of all, mother of all stovepipes, and make somebody the champion who stands before us to defend all of us in that difficult place. That's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. And you're never going to get the private sector to cede their initiative, their authority, their capacity, their innovative capacity to the public sector, to the government. And you're never going to get somebody in the private sector who can wield inherently governmental authority in a way that they can master the panoply of kind of the military and the diplomatic cadre and the finance and the legal aspects of that. What this calls for is, how do we lower the boundaries between these disparate parties and make it such that they got to beat all of us to beat one of us, right? How do we actually do that?
Yeah. And that logic, this is a very distinct method where, of course, you observe, you need to understand what's going on. We have that in cybersecurity. You need to understand that in the context of where you are and what else is going on. That's that orientation, the second O, We also have that in cybersecurity. Somebody needs to do that. And you need to then decide what to do and then act, And those things, all we have in cybersecurity, just like you have as an airline pilot, but we have those roles lit across multiple different people instead of having it centralized in a proper way to be able to act fast. So very often we don't act fast enough when there is some attack going on. And he explained it in a perfect way. So absolutely worthwhile to get even more of his excellent input by watching his keynote.
Yeah, the OODA loop, I mean, it applies across multiple domains. Obviously, it's very applicable in martial arts. You know, how do you react and how do you evaluate and react, and whoever can do that more quickly and more effectively, just like in any sort of a conflict type situation. But in terms of cybersecurity, yeah, it's like instead of being across neurons, it's across groups and how effectively those groups work. We had a really cool closing keynote, which was actually a fireside chat with our good friend Simon Hodgkinson, one of our strategic advisors and the former CISO of BP, with Jen Easterly, former CISA director. What did you think of that, Guido? And what did it tie into, by the way, in the theater?
Yeah, exactly. That fireside chat took place across the road from the hotel in that very cool theater in Charleston to show something that they then also talked about, which was that release of our Midnight in the War Room trailer, a very cool cyber documentary around cyber crime, giving a voice to the CISOs of the world. To the audience to understand the real challenge and hopefully solutions right. When we do release it next year. Actually, it'll be spring 2026. Should be more clear about that than relative terms when talking about that. But the point is that was why we were in a theater, yeah, and so that trailer was shown to the amazement of the whole audience. Anybody can of course see that now. And it's the first full-length documentary of a cybersecurity company that is going to be, you know, launched soon. So I believe it is going to have a very positive impact also on, you know, other practitioners that might not have yet looked deeper into, you know, joining the security workforce in their company to maybe open the eyes. Hey, this might be something that I also want to do. And there's a need for that. We need right. more people to take on, you know, true and good cybersecurity practices. And Jen, then of course, in her interview with Simon, which I thought was an amazing, great interview. I mean, she just speaks so naturally. She is so knowledgeable, yeah, and doesn't only speak wide, but also goes deep into various topics, which is very impressive, and you know highlighted the fact that a lot of the issues that we're seeing today with you know malicious or let's say code that can be hacked. Vulnerabilities that we have in our software is to a large extent caused because we're writing bad software. Yeah.
Software quality.
It's the software quality. Yeah. It's there hasn't been sufficient focus on security in software writing over the decades. So this is not like a new thing. Yeah. We might be concentrating more on right. security now, but we're using a lot of legacy software, and she does. And I think this is just as important, express some hope that there could be an opportunity for using artificial intelligence to recheck old code, yeah, to check the quality of code and ideally improve it, because you might not be able to get rid of some of that software that you're using, but you might be able to still update it if, of course, you have that source code, if it is a self-written app. But, you know, that's
right.
an important element. And it was definitely another one worthwhile to view. Well, obviously all the keynotes are, but not just the keynotes. It's all of the sessions have their true worth to review and learn from.
Yeah, we had some sessions that went deep into post-authentication attacks and Entra with Thomas Naunheim. And we also had an area that I think has been neglected in terms of on-prem identity security, which is Active Directory Certificate Services, PKI. And so we had two sessions on PKI, one of which was our Jake Hildreth talking about his Locksmith ADCS security tool that allows you, that will show you your certificate services vulnerabilities, the most common ones, and give you very easy steps to secure it as well. So,
And Chris Anderson, another MVP, many years MVP, also speaker at the DEC conferences where we met, Sean, has also delivered a great deep dive into the whole topic of PKI challenges. Is it a friend or foe? Utilizing enterprise PKI and you know, certain configurations that have been known for quite some time to be problematic. And I mean, he goes deep into this and explained very well what you can do to better protect yourself. And so the combination of both of those sessions with Jake and Chris were absolutely worthwhile. And let me just add to that, during any security research or actually, let's say, a security consultation that our breach response team does for our customers by, you know, checking out AD security configurations in their environment, problems with certificate services pop up every time. Yeah, so there's some template misconfigured, something else. There is typically an attack path that that can happen through certificate services. So absolutely worthwhile to give that attention.
I'd also like to point out a slightly different session that was given at the end of the conference, and you were in the room with it also for this, Guido, which is Lance Peterman's session. The title of his session was Identities Work Is Never Done, Applying a Product Mindset to IAM. So Lance is, he's definitely falls, is one of what we lightly call identerati. So he's the director of identity for Dick's Sporting Goods. He was also on the identity team at Merck Pharmaceutical. So he was on the team at Merck Pharmaceutical when NotPetya hit them. And they actually had
same time that mask was hit.
And they actually incurred a much greater loss than Maersk did. They just didn't talk about it. But last year at the HIP conference, I interviewed Lance backstage, and we sort of talked about his involvement in that cyber attack. But this year, he gave this talk. He is actually, for 11 years, has been a professor in Charlotte, at one of the universities in Charlotte, the one which escapes me. And he was the former chair of the ID Pro organization, professional identity organization. So he's very well-spoken, very thoughtful about topics on identity. And his talk was about how identity is typically approached as a project. We have this project, we have that project, we have that project, rather than as a product where it's there and it's always there and it's always critical and you have releases to it. And it was very interactive, expressing some thoughts. I think you find it interesting. And Joe Kaplan chimed in from the point of view of somebody that is one of the world's largest organizations. He's essentially the identity lead for one of the world's largest organizations, and his thoughts on it as well. So that's a nice little wrap up on those aspects. This is also probably a good opportunity to mention that we're hosting HIP Europe in almost literally your backyard, Frankfurt. On February 10th, Guido, are you going to hold a barbecue afterwards at your place?
Yeah, it's perfect weather in February here in Frankfurt for that. So, no, definitely, Definitely looking forward to that. So this will obviously air just before we have hit Europe. And I'm not sure if by then we still have seats available. Definitely folks should check it out. It's, of course, a smaller version of HIP Global with amazing speakers that we're in the middle of choosing. By this time, of course, that'll all be said and done and we'll have the agenda. But it's great interest already. Yeah. And it's, I'm totally happy that we finally do have a HIP coming to Europe because, you know, let's be honest, for Europeans to travel to the US to join our HIP Global is challenging. Yeah. It's something that it's great to bring to Europe and have the more easy travel for the attendance here in Europe. So very much looking forward to that. And absolutely do come and join us. We're happy to have you.
And by the time this goes out, I expect that if you go to, again, to hipconf.com, that's hipconf.com, you'll also have information on HIP Europe. You'll be able to find out about HIP Europe there as well. And yes, you're showing off your t-shirt. So tell us about your t-shirt. Well, tell us about the subject on your t-shirt.
Exactly. September 26th, HIP Global is going to come to Nashville. Yeah. So definitely looking forward to that. And that will again be our larger HIP version, the global one. I expect it to be, I think it's also 2.5 days. I'm not totally sure, but definitely will have great content similar. Of similar depth and variety, of course, with a focus on that key element of hybrid identity security. So I'm totally looking forward to that and already invite our audience to check that out and register.
Right. So there you have it. You know, if you go to hipconf.com, all of these sessions are available online. No advertisements. No YouTube breaks for weight loss formulas, anything like that. Just pure technical conference, and there for the enjoyment, of course, and this continuing podcast. And do you have any closing thoughts, Guido?
No, I can just encourage folks to check out all the other sessions that we didn't talk about. There's plenty that would be too much to name now. Lots of sessions that also really went deep, others that went more on the strategic element of a particular new technology, but all of them worthwhile to listen in and learn, because that's the whole goal of the conference. Everybody will learn from that content. And that's why we, of course, picked it for being presented. So thrilled about all of that.
Yep. So there you have it. Go check out hipconf.com. And of course, as always, this podcast is brought to you by Semperis, pioneer in identity-driven cyber resilience. Thanks for coming. And thanks, Guido, for attending.
Thanks.